Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Welcome, everybody, to our class on Parshas Vayechi. It's 5771. This is the final Parsha of the Book of Bereishis. We are concluding a section of our overall project this year, which is basics. So we're going to have somewhat of a conclusion of a part of basics. And I'm going to do a little bit of a recap today. Okay? And that will hopefully lead us to our final phase. So what have we covered this year in basics? Our first class was to define the basics of what? And that was to be the basics of Torah reality. It's a different way of looking at things. Torah is not just a to-do list. It is a different way of looking at things. It is a different reality. We had a class on the basic belief or proofs in God. We spent almost an entire class just going through various proofs, various indicators, that much of it is just instinctive to us, to Jews, and that there's a God. We thank our author, Rabbi Meir Schiller, for that. In the next class, we discussed the basics of man, and that man's job, man, the individual man, the mankind, which has been funneled into the Jewish people, his job is to reveal the oneness of Hashem. That is man's job. That is the purpose of the creation of man, was to reveal the oneness of Hashem in this world and thereby to connect with him for everlasting pleasure and bliss. He reveals God by the way he submits himself to God's will, but also in the way he develops himself as a Tzelem Elokim, as a creature made in God's image. We learned about the fundamental institution of marriage, how that was given to man to help him conceive of the awesome position that he has in the world. How does a little human being come to become part of something larger, such as the revelation of God's oneness, by becoming something part of a larger entity called a family, called a home, where in which he actually nullifies some of his personal self in order to create something bigger? That is a microcosm of what man's purpose is in the world. We did explain how that's available to anyone, with or without the formal entering into marriage. It is something, it is a concept that one can incorporate into his or her life at any stage. We learned about the basic challenge to our position. How we are, by nature, we tend to be small. We tend to just think of ourselves as a little nothing. And that is what gets in the way of becoming greater and the bigger person that we are. We talked about how we rectify that smallness through the Torah that God gave us, through the study and through the delving and taking that into our minds and taking that into our consciousness. That is the vehicle that we can ride on to help us become bigger and to help us see our true identity and our true purpose. We learned how the Torah views history. History is not just facts of things that have occurred, but it is actually the unfolding of God's master plan, and that there is spiritual underpinnings and things are going on in terms of the rectification of man and the revealing of God's oneness. It is all happening, unfolding through the annals of history. The four exiles. This brought us close to the message of Hanukkah, which is what we studied on Shabbos Hanukkah. And we learned about the meaning of true unity and true disunity. Talked about Yosef and his brothers. And that's a big part of the Hanukkah story as well. And last week, we learned about the basics, the basic important idea that a Jew must have in order to be in any way connected to Torah, and that is belief in the miraculous. Belief that God is in our lives every moment, at every turn. That doesn't mean that he doesn't give us free will. That doesn't mean that everything that we do is, quote, God's will. That's a cop-out. No. The decisions that we make that he gives us are our decisions. But he is there every step of the way, acting, reacting, bringing about the desired results, and so forth. If a Jew doesn't understand that God is in his life, he is not connected to the Torah reality. So here we are. The last parsha, Vayechi. What more is there for the basics? I believe that we are still very far, naturally, from this Torah reality. After all is said and done, I think it sounds great, but this is not how we live day to day. This is not how we think. Present company excluded, of course. But I would think that we have a hard time connecting to this spiritual reality. You know, we think of ourselves as just people, individuals. We get up in the morning. We try to stay healthy. We try to get by, try to get through a day. We try to do work and stay honest and make it from sunup to sundown. We don't spend that much time thinking about the big picture. Even if we introduce Torah and spirituality to life, very often the kinds of questions we ask ourselves is, okay, so what should I do about it? Or, what will I get? What's in it for me? What will happen to me if I keep the Torah? What level am I on? Am I on the same level as that person? How come that person is getting more respect, more recognition? In other words, we translate all of our spirituality into our small reality. If I can quote Kina, Tava, Kavod, envy, lust, honor, this comes in and colors even our spiritual selves, even our religious selves. Is this really the Gilui HaYichud? Is this really that overarching revelation of oneness that we're supposed to be living for? We've got to somehow break out of that small mindset and see the big picture. But that's so hard for us. Especially as we learned from Rabbi Kagan that we're living in a time where the spiritual dimension is all but closed off. We don't really have that awareness of our neshama, that awareness of our connectedness on the spiritual plane. We just see the body and the emotions and the mind, and that's it. It's so limiting. So is there something, is there maybe one more piece, one more item that we can grab hold of, maybe from this parsha, that can help us get on and stay on that track of the Torah reality that we have tried to depict through our learning? When I look at Parshas Vayechi, I see a recurring theme. I see the passing of the generations. Three examples. And the entire parsha is that way. The first example is Yaakov transmitting to Yosef and to his sons. The famous scene of Menashe and Ephraim being brought by Yosef before Yaakov on his deathbed. And he wants to give them a blessing. And he switches his hand so that the right hand is placed on the younger Ephraim and the left hand on the older Menashe. And he says these timeless words, which we say before going to sleep, in fact. This is 48:15-16. Vayavorech es Yosef ayomar, ha'olokim asher hisalchu avosai lefanav Abraham v'Yitzchak, ha'olokim haro'e osim e'odi ad hayom hazeh. He blessed Joseph and he said, O God before whom my forefathers, Abraham and Yitzchak, walked, God who shepherds me from my inception until this day, ha'malach ha'goel osim mikorah, yivarech es ha'na'arim, V'karevohem shmi, the shame of Osai Avraham the Yitzchak, the Yidgu Larov Bekerev Haaretz. May the angel who redeems me from all evil bless the lads, and may my name be declared upon them. May my name be declared upon them, and the names of my forefathers, Avraham and Yitzchak. May those names also be declared upon these lads, and may they proliferate abundantly like fish within the land. Yaakov is concerned with his children, his grandchildren, that they carry his name. Another example, of course, in the next chapter, Yaakov calls together all of his sons. Vayomer Yaakov el bana, vayomer he asvu, v'agida lachan, es asher yikra eschem be'achris hayamim. Then Jacob called for his sons and said, assemble yourselves, and I will tell you what will befall you in the end of days. And then he goes and he addresses each one, and he talks about the qualities of each one, he talks about the future of each one. This is the tzava'ah, this is what's known as the last will and testament, if you will, which is such an important part, even in Jewish tradition. And how about this very, very poignant verse, 33. Vayachal Yaakov litzavos es banav, vayesof raglav el hamita, vayigva vayeyasef el amav. When Jacob finished instructing his sons, he drew his feet onto the bed, he expired, and was gathered to his people. It just encapsulates it all. He finished instructing his sons, he drew his feet onto the bed, my life and my work is finished. I've instructed my sons, now I can go join the big picture. The great big picture in the sky. And then we have the third example. At the end of Yosef's life, many years had passed, and just also a very poignant verse. The end of the Parsha, verse 23. Vayar Yosef l'Ephraim b'nei Shilei Shim, gam b'nei Machir ben Menashe yuldu al birkei Yosef. Joseph saw three generations through Ephraim. Even the sons of Machir, son of Menashe, were raised on Joseph's knees. Can you see Yosef, the old royal figure, sitting there playing with his son and his grandson and his great-grandson on his knee and just playing with them, and not just playing, but transmitting? What is this emphasis here? And this is the end of Bereshit. This is the end of Yetzirah. This is the end of Genesis. Genesis means creation. The Jewish people are created at the beginning of Genesis, and at the end of the book, that creation is complete. Not complete as in final, over. Complete as in passing it on. What is this idea of Mesorah, of transmission? So I think that there's an idea over here that it can really, really change the way we look at ourselves. And it can help give us this big picture. How does the Torah tell us to study it? This is such an important part of Judaism. Talmud Torah keneged kulam. The study of Torah equals them all. How is that instruction, how is that mitzvah commanded? Does it say, you shall study Torah? V'shinantam levanecha, you shall teach them to your children. That is the mitzvah of learning Torah. As the Rambam says in his treatise on 613 mitzvos, mitzvah 11, to teach the wisdom of Torah and to study it. Teach first. Teach comes first. Now, you can't teach until you study. But the purpose is to teach it. V'shinantam levanecha. You are a teacher. You have to learn to teach. But your job is to teach. Rav Weinberg said, we see from the Rambam, we see from the Torah, that the whole concept of Torah, which is the source of truth, which is the way to, as we learned, to become bigger, the whole context of Torah is teach it. The whole concept is pass it on to the next generation. Of course, in order to pass it on, you have to receive it. How can you pass on what you didn't receive? But your job as a Jew is to be a link, to use the cliche, to be a link in the chain. Have you ever watched, I don't know if I ever did, but the torch relay before the Olympics? And I understand a lot of sporting events have this, the torch relay. They go around the track, or maybe they go through the countryside, I don't know what it is. But each runner knows his job. His job is to take the torch from the person that hands it to him and deliver it to the next person. Have you ever heard a torch runner who said, I don't really care what happens after I give up the torch. I just care about what happens to me during my run. After that, I don't care what they do with it. Have you ever heard a torch runner say that? Obviously not. Well, if a Jew says, I don't really want to think about what's going to happen to me. I don't really want to think about my mortality. You don't? You really don't? You don't care about what happens after you? Do you care about what happened before you? Where did you get it from? Where are you going? I don't want to think about my mortality means I just want to be little, small me without a context of where I come from and where I'm going. Of course we want to think about our mortality. We want to think about what's going to be with the big picture. Where is the baton going to go from here? That's what we're here for. We want to see the torch get to the destination. We all want to see Hashem be revealed. We're just carrying the torch for a little stretch. That's what we're here for. We have to think about our mortality. Our mortality means that we are passing it on. There's a beautiful Ramban that I remember from years ago, when we were doing in this class, we were learning selected commentaries from Ramban on the Chumash. And I remember this one. It just hit me. In Va'eschanan, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. This is just before the Shema. Just before the Shema. The Torah says, let me read the English. This is the commandment and the decrees and the judgments that Hashem your God commanded to teach you to perform in the land to which you are crossing, to possess it. Okay, so here's the Torah and the mitzvahs. So that you will fear Hashem your God to observe all His decrees and commandments that I command you, you, your child, and your grandchild, all the days of your life, and so that your days will be lengthened. So the Ramban and the other commentators are interested to know, this seems to be a statement of what God has in mind for us in giving us these commandments. And the Ramban interprets it as follows. Moshe is saying here that Hashem commanded me that you should learn the commandments and perform them so that you may merit to fear Hashem your God, to observe His commandments, you, your child, and your grandchild, all the days that man is upon the land, forever. For as a result of performing the commandments, you will merit that you will have children who fear God, and thereby your offspring and your name will endure before Him all the days. You will be perpetuated. Just like the Chumash says about Yaakov, Yikarev Lahem Shmi, my name should be called in them. If you fear God, you will merit to be an individual whose name is perpetuated. What you do in your life is going to live on. I have to stop here and say the same comment I said about when we were learning about marriage, because the tendency, and this is all a matter of smallness, by the way, the tendency is for people to say, well, I'm not married. And here also, well, I don't have children. I don't have grandchildren. That's the smallness talking again, which means it's all about me. What this means is you can make of your life something that will live forever. Sons and grandsons don't only have to be biological. because Rambam says that when it says you shall teach them to your children, this includes disciples. Disciples are also your children. Why? Because you've affected them. Because you've influenced them. And I have no doubt that it includes any time a person influences the next generation. If a person gives tzedakah and supports education, they are creating eternal children. They are creating eternal descendants and progeny. The point is that they're making their life into something that's going to live on after them. To me, this is an easier way of grasping the big picture. Because if you just say to me, well, we're all part of a Klal Yisrael, of this great amorphous entity, it's hard to put your arms around it. If I say that you decide in your life what you're going to leave to the next generation, what are you doing in your life that is going to remain, that's going to contribute, that's going to influence the next generation to continue on this work? That is a very important piece of basics. And it changes the way we look at ourselves. It is only the influence of non-spiritual, secular thinking that I'm just me and I just have my own life and what's in it for me, and it's the here and now. That is just the influence of secularism. That's not on the spiritual level, on the neshama. The neshama level, there is connectiveness this way, and there is connectiveness in time. And all we are, all we can be, what we can be, is a runner that takes their torch and passes it to the next one, who passes it to the next one. And all we care about is where that torch is going and where it's going to end up. Just like all Yaakov cares about is what's going to be in the next generation and the next. And all of his energy and all of his focus, before I pass, I'm not worried about what's going to be with me here and now. I'm worried about Menashe and Ephraim and Yosef wants to play with Menashe's children and Machir and all those people, because we are building together from one link to the next. Just as an aside, I always thought to myself, when we talk about this analogy of the chain link, you know, if you take a chain, what is it called? A chain. Do you have a chain?
A little bit.
Oh, this is good. Can I hold that for a second? Look at this. If you take a chain and you hold it taut, what is each link doing? Well, they're connecting. You know, one's extending the whole thing to make it longer, but there's something else that's going on. There is a force being exerted on this side, another force being exerted on that side. These two forces are really trying to break the links. They're trying to pull the links apart. And that's the same thing as every person. Every person is a link in the chain. There is a force from the past that's pulling us to remember the past, remember where we come from. We're old-fashioned. We are really old-fashioned. We're not made of this modern stuff. And then you've got this other force pulling it. But times are changing. We're different now. Get with it. Get real. Get into the 21st century. And then here I am in the middle, and I feel like I'm being pulled at both ends, and I somehow have to connect the two. I have to take the past, and I have to bring it into the present in recognition of the future. Tough work. It's tough work, but that's what a link is. And that's who we are. We're links. And that's our choice. That's our choice in life. Do we want to be a link? Do we want to be a runner? Do we want to just take the torch and whatever we do with it, we do with it? It doesn't matter what happened before. It doesn't, just little old me? Or do we want to be a torch runner in that relay? Oh, listen to this. You'll like this story. I think maybe we shared it before. Rabbi Yochanan, one of the sages of the Talmud, Rabbi Yochanan said, all of the days of a righteous man, he's referring to somebody who was named previously. Oh, I guess the man was Choni. Yes, there was a man named Choni. He was a very, very righteous man. And he lived during the time of the destruction of the first temple. And he read the verse from the Psalms. It's Shir HaMalos, before we do the benching, the grace after meals. Shir HaMalos, B'shuv Hashem, Eshivas Tzion, Hayinu Kecholmim. A song of exaltation. When Hashem will return the captivity of Zion, we will be like dreamers. King David is saying that we're going to go into exile, and we're going to be in exile for a long time, with 70 years. And when it's over, it's going to seem like it was just a dream. And Choni, this righteous man Choni, always had a difficulty with this verse. Is it possible for anyone to sleep for 70 years with one continuous dream? Now you are going to learn the source of the story. Rip Van Winkle. Rip Van Winkle. This comes from this Talmud, Tanis 23a. One day he was going on the road and he saw a certain man planting a carob tree. Choni said to him, "How many years does it take for this carob tree to bear fruit?" He said to Choni, 70 years. Choni said to him, "Is it clear to you that you will live another 70 years?" He replied to Choni, "This man found a world containing full-grown carob trees." Referring to himself, "I found a world containing full-grown carob trees. Just as my ancestors planted those trees for me, knowing that they themselves would never live to see them fully grown, but they planted them for me, so too I plant them for my children." Choni fell asleep. He was tired. He lay down under the tree and he fell asleep. And he slept for 70 years. Choni sat down and ate bread. Drowsiness overcame him and he fell asleep. An outcropping of rock rose around him as he slept, and he became hidden from sight and slept for 70 years. When he arose from his sleep, he saw what looked to be that same man picking some of the fruit from the carob tree he had just planted. Choni said to him, "Are you the man who planted this tree?" He replied to Choni, "No, I'm his grandson." Choni said to him, "It is evident from this that I have slept for 70 years, just as described in the psalm." He saw that his mare had given birth to generations of offspring. This is how we have to live. I mean, this is exaggerated from our perspective, our puny mind. But we have to live like this man. We have to see that we didn't come from nowhere. That there were people before us, that all they cared about was our well-being and what's going to be with our future. And we, too, have to preserve that vision, and we have to pass that vision on in whatever way we do. Whether it be through children, whether it be through students, whether it be through just investing into the community. And we all have something unique, and we can invest that and ensure it's perpetuation. That is what it means to be a Jew living in the big picture. And I think this is a basic. If we don't have this, if we don't have this little piece, it's very hard to grasp. This is something that we can hold on to and see who we are. Ask ourselves, what do I want to leave behind? What do I want to give over? It's challenging to try to influence. Sometimes the people that are closest to us are the least receptive. There's no question about that. There's challenges today relating to the younger generation. But I don't think anyone has to worry. I think that if you are committed, if you are dedicated, it's just a matter of looking at ourselves as a link. And we will find ways of seeing ourselves as bigger than we really are, than we think we are. And we will find the way of joining that big picture. So that is the completion of our series on basics for the book of Bereishis. I have no idea where we go from here. All I know is that just as Hashem has continued to guide us so far, I'm sure there's more to come. Stay tuned for the book of Shemos, and we'll join together again 3 weeks from today for Parshas Bo. Yashar Koach. Yes. Hannah and
Victor. When you were talking about this idea of passing it on, and it goes, seeing small as children, thinking big is beyond it. In Parshas, I think it's Toldos, doesn't it say these are the generations of so-and-so, and then they like skip over the kids and go to what he did? And the idea there is...
You're talking about at the end of the Parsha, like
Ishmael
or
Yitzchak? And that the idea is that his children are actually his deeds.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And so, in a certain respect, I think what you say applies here. Because our
deeds themselves are the children.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah, I just want to make one short comment. I like the drash where Yaakov, Israel, calls his kids together. Mm-hmm. And he says, kids, I want you to be Jewish.
Okay. Right, that's what he's saying.
And the kids all in unison say, Shema Yisrael, listen here, Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, our God, Adonai Echad is unique, or whatever that you want to translate that. I always thought that the Shema, in a way, is a nice little drash.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I'd just pass that on for whatever it's worth.
Then he says, then he said,
Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso. Right. And that was his response. That's why we say Baruch Shem after we say Shema, because that was Yaakov's response to his children.
And then when he heard that, then he could crawl up his feet and die.
Yes, very good. So in other words, you're adding to the fact that he was waiting for that affirmation from his sons that indeed they got the message and they were going to carry it on. Very good. Very, very nice. And that is true fulfillment when you see that your progeny are continuing. Yes.
I heard that also on Har Sinai that Moshe heard the Malachim say Baruch Hashem Kavod, and therefore we don't say it out loud except on the Yom
Kippur.
And it's interesting. I didn't know about this. I forgot about this response. But I wonder what the connection is and why we still go with saying it silently during the whole year when that was.
I think because since it's not mentioned in Moshe's Torah. He goes straight from Shema to the Havta, so we don't want to appear to be doing better than him. So we do it quietly. But we do want to say it because Yaakov said it.
One more question. So Hamalach HaGoel, can we learn that as the good deeds that Yaakov had, he calls upon them, the good deeds that guided him as the malach that created by his good deeds? Is that the way, what is the way that you learn it?
Earlier in Parshas Vayishlach, I think, or Vayetze, when he was coming back to Eretz Yisrael, it says that he saw the angels and they came to greet him and escort him. Mm-hmm. So I always thought of them as some other being or spirit, but it's true. I think the Pirkei Avos says that any time a person does a mitzvah, he creates an angel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
so it could be a person.
About that versus the Malachim. The Malachim would always go Eloti, Mikol Ra. So the Malach individually has to be whatever that particular purpose was that Malach was needed to protect him.
Yeah, Hashem promised Yaakov that he would be with him, wherever he went. And that kind of relates to last week's class. This idea that a Jew has to live with the awareness that God is following him and protecting him. That's vital for a Jew. Whether we whether we say there's malachim, or however you say it, but we have to realize that we're not alone. And the reason why we seem to be so alone is just because that is the free will that Hashem has given us. And He wants us to have as much freedom as we can to express ourselves in our own way and to make decisions. That's the free will. But in reality, He's extremely tight in His surveillance of us. It's just that he removes our cognizance of that so that we can exercise free will. Mm-hmm. But the Jew has to know that we're really not alone, really not abandoned in any sense of the word. Yes?
I learned something, a couple of things this week. I learned something from Mrs. Feldman. The month of Tevis that we went into is a time of darkness. It's like exile, and that we're in this diaspora, we're in this exile, but that the light still shines from Hanukkah. Because there's 36 candles that we light, and it starts on the 25th of Kislev. There's 6 days that it lights, and the 30 are for the next month of Tevis.
Oh, my goodness.
The 30, the Tevis is still lit up with the lights of Hanukkah.
Beautiful. So the 36 candles cover from the first day of Hanukkah till the end of Tevis.
Yes.
Wow.
So I thought that was so beautiful that I just wanted to share it because that's what you're saying. We're never alone,
mm-hmm.
and there's always hope
mm-hmm.
because Hashem is always with us,
mm-hmm.
even when it looks like it's darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Here he's giving us more life from Hanukkah.
Wow.
You have very nice.
And the second thing I would like to share, I'm sorry, is that Rabbi Pliskin in his book, Love Thy Neighbor, says that Yaakov blessed Yehuda with a blessing. I can't say it in Hebrew. He said to him that the milk of your, what did he say? Something about the whites of your teeth.
You know, I'll look it up.
It doesn't look like what it says. He blessed him with something about showing the white of your
red-eyed from wine and white-toothed from milk. White-toothed from milk.
So this one of the students, Hoodie, one of the students actually explained that this morning, and that's what Rabbi Pliskin said also, that the white is not giving milk to somebody. That nourishes them. It's more important to smile at somebody. That's what this says.
Show them the whites of your teeth.
Show them the whites of your teeth. When you smile at somebody, you nourish them in more ways than just giving them a milk.
All right, Yasher Koach, have a very good Shabbat, and we'll see you in January.